We value our relationship with the United States. However, as far as this place is concerned, I feel very strongly that our opposition to racism and to sexism and our support for equality before the law and an independent judiciary are hugely important considerations in the House of Commons.
As the president, if you say, for example, that there are 3 million illegal aliens who voted, and then you don't have the data to back it up, some people are going to say that's irresponsible for a president to say that.
A lot of people have come out and said that I am
correct. Yeah, but the data has to show that 3 million illegals voted.
Forget that. Forget all of that. Just take a look at the registration.
I rise this morning to speak directly to my friends on the other side of the aisle. Now is the time to put country before party. I understand the pull of party loyalty. I understand deference to a new president. But from what we have seen in the first 2 weeks of this administration, party loyalty is demanding too much of my Republican colleagues. We need Republicans to set aside partisan considerations in favor of doing what's best for the country.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday. It's February 7th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. If you're in the Chicago area, it is a wet start to the day. We'll have the very latest on travel and traffic coming up with Mary in just a bit later in the broadcast. We'll take a look at some of the numbers behind Valentine's Day, which is just about a week away now. You have just about 7 days to do your shopping. How much money is spent? How many flowers are picked? How many candies are given? We'll tell you about it later in the show. And coming up, we'll talk a little bit about wills and trust and the number of people who do not have them. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street later this morning, up 54 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are a little higher as well this morning. Crude oil is trading at $52.79 a barrel, almost down a full half a percent. In Europe this morning, most of the indices are higher. The FTSE, the DAX, and the CAC all higher. In Asia, all of the indices are lower. The Nikkei off more than 70 points, nearly 70 points. The Hang Seng and the Shanghai off as well. But in this country, we're looking for a positive opening right now when the opening bell rings a little bit later on this morning. A couple of stories happening since you went to bed last night. The number of tech companies now standing behind the argument against Donald Trump's travel ban, now near 100. About 58% of the engineers and other high-skilled employees in Silicon Valley were born outside of the U.S., and that is what the tech leaders have been arguing in their arguments that they filed with the briefs for appeal on this in San Francisco, that they will be irreparably harmed by the ban on immigrants and by the refugee ban. The head of Apple, Steve Jobs, former head of Apple, his father was from Syria. We've been reminded a lot about that, but there are people all over the country who work in industry, in tech, and at schools and colleges who are stuck in the middle of all of this, and that's part of the argument now by nearly 100 tech companies and other companies, normal companies too, not just tech companies, joining the fight against the travel ban. Also, if you have a Vizio TV, you need to listen up to this. New Jersey officials say television manufacturer Vizio and a subsidiary have agreed to pay $2.5 million to settle allegations that they surreptitiously tracked consumers' viewing habits and sold the information to marketing companies and data brokers. The settlement announced yesterday ends investigations into the company. According to the legal documents, the company used captured second-by-second information about video that was displayed on its sets, sold it to marketing companies and data brokers, and who knows who else. Also this morning, a federal appeals court judge, Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch, has been very critical of courts for giving too much power to government agencies that enforce the nation's labor and employment laws. As the Associated Press begins looking into the background of the Supreme Court nominee, his conservative approach could tip the balance in labor rights cases and other high court clashes that have split the high court. Nearly 60% of adults don't have a will. The percentage is even lower among those with children under age 18. This is according to a new Caring.com report. Hearing.com Vice President Katie Roper is with us this morning from San Mateo, California, via Skype. Katie, first of all, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell. Tell us about this report.
So what we found is that nearly 6 in 10 U.S. adults don't have a will in place. And what's even more troubling is that if you look at those with children under the age of 18, it's only 36%. So, you know, people who really need to have these documents in place are just not there.
What is the biggest danger in not having these documents?
If you don't have your desires spelled out, then it goes to the courts to decide. So, for example, if you're the parent of a young child, most likely the courts would eventually get your estate to your kid, but it could take a year or more to get through the whole probate experience. And if you have any particular desires, like you want to designate somebody to look out for your kids, or you want the money to go to pay for their college or anything like that, you need to have a will. Otherwise, you're really at the mercy of whoever's deciding these things.
Is there a reason why people have given for not doing this?
You know, almost half of the people say they just haven't gotten around to it, which is kind of amazing because with all the resources available online now, it actually doesn't take all that much time. And it's going to take a lot more time and involve a lot higher legal fees if you don't have a will for the people who need to deal with the mess once you're gone.
Katie Roper, stay with us for just a bit. From Caring.com, the vice president, a new report about wills and trusts.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, investors saw minor declines on Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was off fractionally to close at 20,052. The S&P 500 was down nearly 5 points. The Nasdaq gave up 3.25. Clothing retailer Gap raised its earnings outlook based on a solid sales performance during the holiday shopping season. Fourth quarter revenue at stores open at least a year rose 2%. Gap stock was up more than 3% in after-hours trading. Holiday demand for Disney Princess and Frozen-themed merchandise drove shares in toymaker Hasbro sharply higher as the company beat earnings and revenue expectations. Hasbro has the exclusive rights to make toys, games, and action figures for Disney, the parent company of ABC News. And billionaire investor Carl Icahn wants to sell the former Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, once the flagship of President Donald Trump's casino empire. Icahn closed the place on October 10th and will sell the property possibly at a loss rather than investing the money to keep it going. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Nearly 60%, 6 in 10 adults, do not have a will in America. Percentage even lower for kids, so people with kids under 18. That's 36%. This according to a new report from Caring.com. The Caring Vice President, Katie Roper, is with us this morning from San Mateo, California, via Skype. Katie, why did this report find people don't have a will or a living trust?
You know, we asked about that, and really, it seems to be just that the overwhelming majority said they just haven't gotten around to it. The second highest one was, I don't have enough assets to leave to anyone. That was 29% of the respondents.
What is the danger in thinking that way?
Well, again, you're leaving it up to the courts then to decide what happens to any assets that you do have. And if you do get a will in place, you need to make sure that people know where it is. If you're gone and your heirs don't know that you have a will, you might not have put one together. So everybody should be having the conversation. And, you know, we've talked a lot about parents of young children, but it's also older relatives as well. So, for example, we found that most people, 81% of those in the silent generation, so age 72 and older, actually do have a will in place. But how many of their adult children know where that is?
It was surprising to me that so many younger Gen Xers have this compared to baby boomers.
Yeah, you know, it's so what we found was that about 36% of Gen Xers and 58% of baby boomers. It's definitely, you know, the older you get, the more people start thinking about these things. But it's really important that younger people deal with this too, particularly if you have children. And the one piece of good news that we found in the survey is that a surprising number of people have medical or healthcare powers of attorney in place. More people have that than have a will.
And that's interesting. Why is that, do you think?
in my experience, my healthcare system has started asking you every time you go in, do you have an advance directive in place? Do you have a healthcare power of attorney? So I think it's just more present in people's minds. The other thing is a healthcare power of attorney is very straightforward. I recently put one in place for my daughter. She's 18, and when her 18th birthday happened, a friend of mine tipped me off that at that point, if she were, God forbid, in a car accident, the hospital couldn't even tell me she was there, let alone empower me to make medical decisions on her behalf if I didn't have this healthcare power of attorney.
Let me ask you this, because there are so many different kinds of families nowadays. Who does it hurt the most? Is it the unmarried people that are living together? Is it people who are caring for an unrelated person? All of the above.
So the laws would be different from state to state, but in general, a court is going to give asset. If you don't have a will in place, a court's going to pass the assets on to someone who you're married to or your children. So if you're not married, or if you've got stepchildren or something like that, the court may or may not decide that the asset should go to that person.
You're bringing up a good point with all of the changes coming and happening with the healthcare law, how this might impact people even more negatively. What are some of the worst case scenarios that you can imagine?
Well, you know, if you don't have a medical power of attorney, you have no right to say what happens to your loved one or to determine what care they're given. So they could either be given care that you don't want and consequently kept alive past the time that they wanted to be alive, or on the opposite side, somebody could pull the plug when they didn't actually mean to.
In the case of millennials, one in five millennials, 18 to 36, has a will or a living trust. How much of that is that they think they're invincible, perhaps, or just too young to have one?
Yeah, too young, you know, just not having gotten around to it. It doesn't seem like that big of a problem, and they just haven't gotten around to it.
So what would be your first advice to people on hearing this news if they're in a situation where they don't have a will? What would you tell them to do first?
Sure. So I would tell them to go to caring.com, where we have a whole set of articles featured on our homepage, lots of questions to ask both your parents, if you're an adult child, or your family, if you are doing this on behalf of someone else. We also have some links to internet resources that might be helpful to somebody who wants to explore doing this on their own. Although, again, of course, it varies tremendously depending on your situation and the state you live in. So, if you've got any questions at all, it's really best to consult a lawyer.
And even if you do have to consult a lawyer, this is not an expensive proposition, is it?
No. And what you can do if you really want to minimize costs is you can use some of the free legal resources available online and then just have a lawyer check it out.
I have a living trust. One of the things that I always worry about is this going to be accessible to people who may not be around me all of the time? What are the possible solutions to that? I mean, where should we be keeping these documents?
Well, it doesn't really matter where you keep it, as long as the people in your life know where that is. So, you know, you can have it in a drawer in your house, as long as your sister or brother or adult children or somebody else know that it's in that particular drawer. It's also, if you work through a lawyer, most lawyers will keep a copy of the will. But again, the people in your life who need to know have to have the lawyer's contact information. They have to know that it's there, and they have to be equipped to go find it if they needed it.
Caring.com is a great resource for people if they haven't been there yet. Again, it's caring.com. What are the trends that you're seeing in other areas these days? Are you seeing a lot of people concerned about the Affordable Care Act and what's going to happen with it? Is there a lot of anxiety?
There's certainly a lot of discussion. And, you know, if you look at the comments that people are making, I think more and more people are realizing how impacted they are by the provisions of the Affordable Care Act, even if you're getting your health insurance through an employer. So, yes, absolutely.
Anything that I've missed? Any other points that you want to get across from this report?
You know, the biggest point is just make sure that you are having open conversations with the people in your life about both your own end-of-life desires and theirs as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking time out.
Okay, thank you.
Katie Roper is the vice president of Caring.com via Skype with us this morning from San Mateo, California. You can read more about this will and trust report at Caring.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:40 on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. You have 7 shopping days left until Valentine's Day. And this year, there is actually a prediction that people will be spending less money on the holiday for one of the first times in a long time. The annual survey by the National Retail Federation and Prosper Insights and Analytics projects consumers this year will shell out an average of $136 per person, down about $10 from last year's record high. In addition, total spending expected to fall to about $18.2 billion from last year's high of $19.7 billion. Still, that is a lot of dough for chocolate. And nobody would know better than that than the president of Fannie Mae, Steve Druckman, is with us this morning. Steve, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
May I say I am a big fan of your work. That is the chocolate. I love Fannie Mae, and it's good chatting with you. So why is it, do we sing fewer people in love, fewer sweethearts?
I actually think that sales are going to be up this year. Valentine's Day is on a Tuesday, which is a great day to kind of do something special for someone that you love on Valentine's Day, and nothing better than one of our amazing chocolate gifts.
Now, you say that it's on a Tuesday this year. I've not got my calendar in front of me. Was it on a weekend last year, or was it on a different day?
Yeah, it was on a Sunday last year, which for us typically isn't the best day for Valentine's Day from our perspective, delivering chocolates and to people usually during the week is better from our perspective.
And I bet you that would hold true for a lot of different industries. I can't imagine a lot of flower delivery places working on Sunday. Maybe they did for Valentine's Day, but I could see how that would be in a lot of different industries.
Exactly. Across the board, I think if you're servicing your customers on a Sunday, it's not as good, obviously, any other day of the week.
Now, we should mention here that Fannie Mae chocolate is now part of 1-800-Flowers.com, so you probably have an idea of generally both of these things. Why is it that chocolates always seem to be one of the best gifts for Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, chocolates are something that's just so sweet and special. I mean, everyone just adores chocolates. We've been making chocolate for almost 100 years. And, you know, in Chicago, everyone comes to our stores, finds us online, and just knows us as one of those iconic brands that go along with great holidays like Valentine's Day. So people come to us for, you know, serving their loved ones, you know, a great treat.
Is there one chocolate over another, one of the different types, especially of Fannie Mae chocolates, that people tend to pick more for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I mean, our Pixie is our number one confection. It's just this beautiful, yummy, smooth, buttery caramel over pecans covered in either milk or dark chocolate. And when you talk about Fannie Mae, most people will start there with a Pixie. And then a few others that are just fantastic are the Mint Meltaway, which is kind of our twist on a dinner mint. You put it in your mouth. The inside's a yummy mint cool center, and then the outside kind of melts away. And then the last is my favorite, which is Carmarsh, which is this amazing light fluffy marshmallow, caramel, and then covered in milk or dark chocolate. So, you know, you ask anyone, and I always go into our stores and ask people, what's your favorite? And I get different answers from everyone because we have such a variety of great chocolates.
Are you team milk chocolate or team dark chocolate? There seems to be a battle going on about which one of those is the favorite. Do you have an answer to that?
Yeah, I'm personally team milk chocolate. There's no doubt about that. But you know, I'm pretty indifferent when it comes to chocolate in general because I like it all. And give me dark, give me milk, I'll take it. But if I had to choose between one or the other, milk is pretty much where I go.
Steve, on the show here, we talk a lot about commodities and commodity prices. How is all of the ingredients of candy impacting the overall cost of it this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as always, we're always watching all the different ingredients that go into what we produce. I mean, we use the best ingredients, and obviously it starts with the best ingredients to make the best product. You know, in general, the commodities markets haven't been super negative or super positive for us, and we're always watching it. We have folks who that's kind of all they do day in and day out is just watch it. And, you know, if there's a certain commodity that goes down, we'll get ahead of it and bring it in early and hold it so that we can take advantage of the price.
How has the strategy changed over the years at Fannie Mae and when it comes to Valentine's Day? Or is it sort of the tried and true that we see every year?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is with you know, such online shopping becoming such a powerful thing in, you know, across the world, but in the U.S., we've really beefed up our online capabilities. If you go find us, you'll actually see us on a site that's shared with our parent company, which is 1-800-Flowers, who owns us, and 1-800-Flowers also owns Harry and David. You know, home of the delicious pears, Cheryl's cookies, beautiful, yummy buttercream frosted cookies.
Sounds like we may have lost our connection with Steve. We'll try to get back in touch with him here real quickly, but we'll give you some more stats on this. According to this year's survey, consumers plan to spend about $85 on their significant other or spouse at Valentine's Day, about $26 on other family members such as children or parents, so about $7 on classmates, teachers, and believe it or not, this year on pets for Valentine's Day, about $5. That probably is sort of a squeaky toy. I can see that. And this year, consumers plan to shop at department stores most of all, 35%. Discount stores, about 32%. Online, about 27%. Specialty stores, about 18%. Florists, just 18% this year. Local small businesses, about 15%. The survey talked to about 7,500 consumers about their Valentine's Day plans, and it was conducted back in January. It has a margin of error of plus or minus 1%. Sounds like we've lost Steve Druckman, the president of Fannie Mae. So if he's listening, thank you, Steve. Fannie Mae in Chicago, one of the companies of Flowers, 1-800-Flowers.com. We appreciate him joining us today. Maybe we have a little rain in the system today that dumped our phone line. We apologize for that.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:52, and on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures pointing toward a strong open on Wall Street a little bit later this morning, now up 72 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are higher as well. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Pretty good day in the soybean export market yesterday. The Department of Agriculture reported weekly soybean export inspections of 1,636,000 tons, well above the expectations. It also revised its week ago soy export inspections total to 1,637,000 tons, and that was higher than previously reported. So we did see some strength in the soybean market yesterday with the nearby contract up 10.5 cents a bushel. But wheat and corn under pressure yesterday. The March wheat contract down 7.25 cents after the big gain last week. And March corn ended the day down 1.5 cents in yesterday's trade. Turning to livestock, well, all but one line green on my screen, and that was the nearby February live cattle contract. It lost 15 cents a hundredweight, but the March feeder cattle contract gained 20 cents, and the February lean hog contract gained 97 cents. This week on Samuelson Says, I talked about the number of college scholarships that are available. but they don't come looking for you. You have to go looking for them. And just today, coming across my desk, the National Dairy Promotion and Research Board, from its funds, Dairy Management, Inc., will be awarding 11 scholarships worth $2,500 each. But go looking for them. They will not come looking for you. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. And now the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday. It's February 7th. Among the economic reports due for release today is the Commerce Department's report on international trade data for December. The Labor Department is scheduled to issue a report on job openings and labor turnover in January, while the Federal Reserve releases consumer credit data for December. Among company announcements on the fourth quarter earnings today, oil giant BP, General Motors, has quarterly financial results before the opening bell. Walt Disney Company will report after the market closes. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, February 7th, 2017. Couple of other notes for you. We are learning from France today. The Paris prosecutor's office says France's former president, Nicolas Sarkozy, is to face trial on an inquiry into alleged campaign finance fraud during his 2012 presidential campaign. The office said today that Sarkozy and 13 others will go to court to answer allegations that his failed presidential campaign spent well above the legal limit in France. Also, today, Facebook is heading to New York State's highest court to challenge search warrants seeking information from user accounts. Prosecutors in Manhattan sought search warrants in 2013 for the accounts of nearly 400 individuals in connection with a disability benefits fraud case against New York City police and fire retirees, nothing to do with terrorism. Facebook challenged the warrants, but lower courts sided with prosecutors, ruling it was up to individual users to challenge the warrants seeking their information and not the social media website.